Hi, I'm Vicki Griffin, and welcome to Living Free, a series that focuses on practical and simple keys to help you live free. If you're thinking about quitting nicotine, or if you're wondering how to help someone that you know wants to quit, let's begin with this testimony.
I grew up in a home that was more or less divided. My dad and my mom split at an early age. And so I didn't grow up in a family that was together. It got more damaging when my dad decided to go to England out of a desire to help his family. He wanted to find work. And I was about 11 at the time when he left. And that was difficult because there was really no good explanation as to why my dad had to leave, at least nothing that we could understand. He felt that he needed to take good care of us, and I thought, for me now, looking back at it, it was a choice that he felt he needed to make because we grew up pretty poor. He just really wanted to help. He was there for a while. It was a difficult journey for him. He couldn't find work, and as a result of that, communication between him and us, it was broken. And so for a very long time, I didn't hear from him. During those formative years of my life, I lost that relationship with my father. And so that made it very difficult. So I got to the point where I started blaming God for the circumstances in my home. I felt that God was not responsible. I felt that if he was all powerful, then why not just allow situations to work out differently? And if he cared, why not just intervene and not allow my home to be torn apart that way? And so I grew up without the influence of my father during those years. He was my hero, and I felt he was always that. Growing up as a child, I remember going to work with him and doing a lot of amazing things together. And so I felt that when he left, there was a part of me that was gone with him too. And so I could not forgive God for allowing that to happen. As a result, I started believing in this whole thing that God didn't exist. And if he did, he didn't care about me. And so there were moments where I felt like an individual atom, just literally floating, moving around, having no life, having no purpose. I started living a rebellious life. I felt that the only way for me to get back at God was to misuse and to tarnish his image. The first time I remember smoking marijuana was because of an uncle that made a joint for me and gave it to me. And that was the first time I started smoking. I was a young boy, just learning about life, and I felt that was normal. And I remember the first time I smoked a cigarette, it was because there was a group of us friends, all from broken homes, went out to a party and we started drinking and started smoking. I started spiraling down into addiction because of my anger towards God. During that time, I found myself literally in the darkness of addiction. Everything was crumbling down on me, and I remember sitting down and I had a knife to my chest. I was ready to thrust it in and say, just get it over with. No one cares about you. No one loves you. God doesn't love you. If he loves you, he would not have done that. And then there was a voice that said, don't. You're looking for purpose for your life, and I can give that to you if you give your life to me. And that's when it all started. I felt like God was trying to get through to me in my darkest moment. And I started praying for the first time, actually. I prayed, and my prayers were very simple. I said, God, if you exist, show me. If you care, show me. And that made a world of difference. I remember I had lost my job. I was there pretty much, again, roaming in Mandeville all by myself, and I was trying to figure life out. And I remember praying. I said, God, if you care, one way you can show me is to provide a job for me. And he gave me a job at a pharmacy in Mandeville, where every single person there were Seventh-day Adventists. I remember when I started working in that pharmacy, someone bought me a Bible for the first time for my birthday. I thought it was an insult, but I realized how much I needed the gift, even though I didn't realize it at the time. So I took the Bible and I started reading. And my reading of the Bible was really simple. I just wanted to know, does God care for me? And so I started reading, I started looking for every single verse that I could find that talks about his care for his children. And one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 103, where it says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those who fear him. And so I, instead of feeling condemnation, I felt pity. Instead of feeling judgment and hopelessness, I felt mercy and hope. And God was restoring something in me that was lost as a result of the brokenness of my home situation. And so I started realizing that I needed to give my life to him. And I started giving my life to him, and some things started falling away. One of the things that left was my addiction to marijuana, smoking cigarettes, that went. Alcohol went out the door. And 19 years later, last year, my wife and I got the chance to go to England to see my dad. And I remember the feeling. I remember walking up to his door. He had left the key for me. I never saw him up until that point. And I remember he was not home, he was at work. And I took the key up from where he had left it, and I put the key in the door. And I thought he wasn't going to come until hours later, but he couldn't stand being at work anymore. And my dad left work early. And I remember as I opened the door and was about to walk in, I heard my name. I heard his voice. After a long time, I heard my dad's voice, Jermaine. And I turned around, I saw my dad, and we hugged each other and wept. We wept and realized that God can restore broken relationships. But I found too that God wants to give us freedom sometimes before he restores our relationships, because then we have the freedom to love. And that has brought peace, joy, happiness to my heart.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the topic for today, You Can Quit. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thank you for watching Hope Channel's production of Living Free. We invite you to purchase a copy of Vicki's book, Living Free, Finding Freedom from Habits That Hurt. This colorful, information-packed volume contains practical tools for building mental, physical, and spiritual strength while overcoming bad habits for good. Enjoy recipes and personal stories in an easy-to-read format. For more information as well as free resources, visit lifestylematters.com or call the number on your screen.
Welcome back. It's time now to get into today's topic, quitting nicotine. Remember, on your journey to freedom, we want to remember our reasons and reframe our whole approach to life and lifestyle. Remember what you hate about this addiction and why you want to quit. Your reasons will grow as you experience new freedom, energy, and health. The next step is to reframe your thoughts and attitudes. It's time to look at nicotine for what it really is. It's not your friend. It's your enemy. It's the enemy of peace, joy, and real strength. So it's time to look at life, stress, and problem solving from a different angle. Remember that nicotine is a toxin. It's a poison that affects every brain-body system. It increases lung disease and circulatory problems. So as you begin to change, you're going to have to expect some discomfort. You're going to get through it. Let's look at some facts. Nicotine in any form is not your friend. Its deadly effects are real, both short and long term, and it doesn't solve your problems. It increases depression, anxiety, and dementia risk. It increases cancer, diabetes, and stroke. It increases heart disease risk, and it shortens your lifespan. It's a recipe for misery. According to Philippians 2:13, Christ himself has pledged to work in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. He'll give you the will and the desire. And his good pleasure is for you to walk in freedom from addiction. So withdrawal symptoms we have to contend with. That include the first part of your journey, poor concentration, headache, tension, fatigue, and some flu symptoms to begin with. Nicotine does, though, leave your system in about 30 hours. Withdrawal symptoms include the ones that we have just talked about. And one of the ways that you know your body's addicted is that withdrawal is uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable because nicotine is a toxin. And sometimes those withdrawal symptoms are pretty strong. So getting ready for these and possibly more withdrawal symptoms, including depression and anxiety, those are the most profound symptoms that you're going to have to deal with. They're going to last about 4 to 5 days. When you quit nicotine, brain-body systems actually are beginning the process of repair, recovery, and renewal. Remind yourself out loud many times a day, nicotine is not my friend. Take it one day at a time, even one moment at a time. You're watching this for a reason. And God promises to help you every moment of every day. And He's not going to leave you or forsake you. You are not forsaken. You are not forgotten. You are not friendless. So addiction reinforcers include nicotine, caffeine, and alcohol. So people find more success in stopping nicotine when they also cut out caffeine and alcohol. Each member of this toxic trio creates a desire for the other, and it's harmful to the nervous system and reinforces the addiction cycle. Make no mistake about it. It takes more than a plan. It takes the power of God, His wonderful promises, and a careful, balanced plan to break these addictions. When you choose your quit day, we strongly encourage you to have a mindset and a target goal of weaning and ultimately quitting all addictive substances that reinforce nicotine. That includes caffeine and alcohol. These substances are not your friends. You are here to quit smoking, but we're encouraging you to eliminate all three. If you're a moderate to heavy user of any of these drugs, please work with your healthcare team. There are physical and psychological changes during withdrawal from these substances. Some of you will be able to quit all three at once. Others will need to wean off more gradually with professional and medical help. So always work with your healthcare provider if you experience serious symptoms of withdrawal or depression or other symptoms. I love this quote by Dr. John Rady, psychiatrist from Harvard University. Experiences, thoughts, actions, and emotions actually change the structure of your brain. It's time to quit this addiction, whatever it is. Jesus is reaching out to deliver you from the guilt as well as the grip of every sin and destructive habit, every enslaving impulse that brings misery into your life and the lives of others. As a person who started smoking when I was 11, plus drugs, plus 20 years of bulimia, I'm here to tell you, you can do this. Jesus died to redeem you. And I'm not going to let a piece of pie or a cigarette tell me what to do anymore. How about you? Let's just stop being taken to the cleaners by the devil. Jesus died to redeem you. He knows your potential. Christ will give you strength, tools, and the guidance that you need for every step of the way in this journey to freedom. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the determination, but you have to take the step and make the choice. His promise is personal, and it's for you, and it's for me. Dr. Rady tells us, one necessary precursor to change is often a change of attitude. And it's really true. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. You're just not going to get anywhere until you change it. Attitude is key. On quit day, you're ready. You have already worked hard to get to this moment. Your body is primed. Your brain is prepared. Your emotions are ready. It's time to move. So here's what we need to do. Recognize those negative, failure-based attitudes and thoughts. Replace with truth and promises from God's Word. Refuse to dwell on past mistakes or future fears. The way you and I choose to think is just as much a daily discipline as exercise, cleaning and airing your house, showing up for work, or any other duty in life. I call this attitudinal discipline, and it can become a habit. It's a daily internal housekeeping to keep your mental and emotional interior fresh, free from negative ruminating and emotional trip hazards. It's a productive and biblical way to navigate the ups and downs of life because those friends are not going to go away. And you know by experience that these drugs don't help. Remember, nicotine, caffeine, and alcohol are to blame for your symptoms, not quitting. They are not your friends. So when symptoms come, it's the drugs, not the positive changes, that are making you miserable. So recognizing and overcoming triggers is crucial. Triggers can be categorized differently, but they may include time of day, some social event that you attend, or a place of work or activity, stress, or it's just a habit. We've all experienced doing things that we don't even feel like doing, but it's a habit. That's what we need to pay attention to. Stress is a trigger. Being upset, angry, anxious, tired, bored, hungry, these are typical triggers. So remember, you're forming a new habit. A lot of what we think and do are habits. God will create in you the desire and the power to rethink and retool your habits and impulses. I remember smoking when I was sick and didn't even feel well, and it didn't even taste good. So I understand the battle. But God's weapons are stronger than the power of these drugs. Romans chapter 13, verse 14 tells us to put on the power of Christ. Put it on. It's a decision. Make no provision for the flesh. Watch those triggers. It takes God's power. It takes prayer. It takes support. And it also takes a plan to face down those triggers, to smoke. We cannot escape this planet. Nicotine doesn't solve problems. And all the people, places, and things that remind us to smoke, well, they're not going away either. But prayer and planning will win the day. So we have to crush that urge, pray and say. We have to distract and delay, move it and lose it, hydrate for health, get connected, and give thanks. Let's break that down. Addictive urges and cravings have physical, emotional, and spiritual roots. Fight smart at every level. When the urge hits, pray and say. Repeat God's promises out loud, such as Psalm 46, 1 and 2. God is my refuge and my strength, a very help in time of trouble. I will not fear. Say with conviction, I've chosen a better way. Distract and delay. Turn your attention to something else, something positive, something helpful, to yourself or to others. Move it and lose it. Go for what I call a soul stroll. Look for the beauty around you. Your world will get bigger. It will boost your mood, lift your spirits, disperse that mental fog, and increase energy. It will quicken your circulation. Don't forget to hydrate for health. Drink enough water. Add some zest with fresh lemon juice. Add some tang with vitamin C, a little juice. Fill your refrigerator with healthy, fresh garden produce. And by the way, eat them. Get connected. Get connected with some support people. Find someone to give you some support and start giving thanks. It's so easy to focus on everything that you don't have and that isn't working, but there's a lot that is. What we magnify is going to get bigger. Every day brings an opportunity to focus on solutions instead of obstacles. We can have giant gripes or giant praise, and it's our choice. So practice doesn't only make perfect, practice makes progress. So practice those new choices morning, noon, and fill in the blank, night. Every time you distract your attention away from an old impulse, and you can fill in the blank, it can be any impulse, an impulse to be impatient, an impulse to lose your temper, an impulse to have a midnight pizza binge, anytime you delay that impulse and make a better choice, you're actually gaining strength and forming new patterns of thinking that are going to grow into other areas of your life. So over time, your new routine is becoming automatic. You don't even have to think about it. You have new habits. So your first 24 hours, drink plenty of water. And here's a tip, take some hot and cold showers. You may have experienced the invigorating effect of a hot and cold shower. Hot and cold showers are not only invigorating, but they also can really stimulate circulation and improve your mood. So alternate between hot and cold a few times according to your tolerance and general health, and finish with a good rub, a good towel rub. This is going to stimulate your nervous system and it's your circulation, and it's going to help you overcome tension and fatigue better than any drug. You're going to be amazed at how energizing this routine is. It's safe and healthy for most people. So check with your doctor if you have questions or pre-existing conditions. Be sure and stock up on fresh fruit juices without added sugar, fresh fruit, and fresh vegetables, especially greens, a great source of magnesium. The powerful antioxidants, nutrients, and plant compounds in these foods are going to lower stress levels, irritability, and brain fog. They're going to improve your energy levels and help your mental engine purr instead of ping. And who doesn't need that? Probably one of the most difficult habits to establish and stick to if you're not used to moving is to exercise every day. And it's a paradox. We feel fatigued and tense, and so we don't feel like moving, but movement is actually what produces energy. So don't live a tired and tense life. Remember, motion balances emotion, and exercise juices your joints. So take a 10-minute brisk walk several times a day, especially after meals, outdoors if possible. Even a quick walk down the hallway or up and down the stairs can help you get through a craving. And as you make exercise a priority, it's amazing how you will discover time, places, and people with which to enjoy this new habit. The question is not, am I going to exercise today, but when and where? And I live in Michigan, so I've had to learn this. And I find ways to exercise, and it can change the trajectory of my entire day. And it also helps you rest better. And we need to stack those Z's, especially when we're first getting off of these drugs. Your nervous system needs time to recover. So plan on extra sleep as your nervous, circulatory, and immune systems are healing. I love this scripture in Isaiah 46, verse 4. He has promised you, and he says, I have made, I will carry you, I will deliver you. Time with God in His Word every day, focusing on His promises and truth, helps repair faulty internal monologues. Drug-induced anxiety, agitation, and depression will be replaced with stability, confidence, solutions, and even joy. Here's the promise from the Father who made you. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. And so now we call Him Abba, Father, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Put away fear. God created you to live free, not from responsibility, but in it. And there's joy there, not from dependence on God, but in it. Do you need family? Do you need a loving Father to walk with you and guide you? Well, you can have it. And here's the promise. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God knows how to deliver you out of temptation. He's going to put the desire in your heart. He'll give you the perseverance you need so that you can quit for good and build a new life, a life without the chains of addiction. After the break, we're going to have a special guest who's going to give us an update on his journey and his road to recovery. Stay tuned.
You're watching just one of 13 compelling Hope Channel episodes of Living Free. As your heart is touched with the practical teachings in this series, you may want to start your own Living Free support group. Free discussion guides correspond to each episode, along with other helpful handouts. Just visit lifestylematters.com and click on Free Resources, or call the number on your screen to learn about better habits for a better life.
Welcome back to the program. Earlier, you heard the amazing testimony of my friend Jermaine Gale, and now we have a real treat in store. We're going to talk to him live, right here. Hi, Jermaine.
Hi, Vicki.
I am so glad that you have been able to join us today. We have heard your amazing story and that piece that you shared about that intimacy with God and how that last layer of addiction that was clinging to you like tar, God had that conversation with you and showed you how to establish intimacy with your Heavenly Father. And since that time, you've established this amazing pattern of how to grow and how to stay in a growth pattern. Tell us about it.
Well, I think the first thing, something that I've been thinking of recently, actually, was the story of John, the beloved of Jesus at the foot of the cross. And when Jesus was about to die, he told his disciple, son, here's your mother. And told his mother, mother, here's your son. I think of that because sometimes when we go through trauma, we forget how much we need people. Mm. And Jesus made sure that John the beloved was taken care of, and his mother during that moment of tragedy were taken care of by a relationship that he established there at the cross. And I can't tell you how much I enjoy and appreciate the relationships that God has been working into my life to help me on this path of growth and on this path of victory. And I just continue to thank him for people every single day because they continue to sustain me as well as my relationship with him.
That's an incredible statement. And it makes me think of how God gave you comfort because that's one of his names. He's the comforter.
That's right.
But now he's made you a comforter of others. He's brought that healing touch into your life so that you can touch others. And what I hear you saying is that that is keeping you on a forward path of growth.
That's right. That's right. And in that, you know, there is that there's the need for honesty and openness, being willing to share the parts or the aspects of our life where we're weak and being willing to be challenged to grow. We cannot grow without being challenged, right? We cannot grow without hearing honest feedback from good friends and people that we love and appreciate. And so those are important. And the other thing that I wanted to mention, too, is practicing those disciplines, especially the spiritual disciplines, and also utilizing that special time with the Lord, because those things are important to sustain our walk on the path of victory.
So your lifestyle is an outgrowth of what has been transformed within you, is what I hear you saying.
That's right.
Wow, that's wonderful. I am just so thankful that we could touch in. And I know that you bless and minister to so many people. And I appreciate your ministry to college students who have so many issues to deal with these days. And I just thank you for joining us. And I thank you for our guests who are watching right now. And let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that we could have this time together. Thank you that the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Keep my brother Jermaine. Bless those who are listening and watching. We thank you that you have called us to walk on the sunny side of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us.